I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Bowl Edition, Episode 57, the James Lina Bowl, SUNY Maritime, Throgs Neck, New York, right between the city and Long Island, 1 o'clock kickoff this Saturday, and some of you may have heard at this point, we will not have a broadcast of that game. For those who don't know, my wife has gone into cancer treatment for a second time in her life, and it has been very, very difficult for me and our family to do the games that we have done over the last couple of weeks. I just simply cannot make what would be a two-day trip, Friday and Saturday, down to Long Island for that game. There is a watch link, and I just want to say, Hobart football, family, parents, coaches, everybody, thank you so much for the kind wishes. I've heard from Kreger. I've heard from families of players. I've heard from families of graduated players. I've heard from families of players in other sports. And also, by the way, I know a few people have inquired about sending cards and things. If you'd like to do that, we'd love it. Our mailing address is Box 536, Rushville, New York, 14544. Thank you, everybody, for sustaining us through this difficult time. Coach Kevin DeWall's here. Welcome back.
Well, thanks, Ted. And obviously, I know we've been talking off the air for a couple of weeks about it, and you know, cancer's affected a lot of people, my family included, and just we're thinking of you. And you know, that's what family's all about, having your back. So we appreciate all you've done on top of what you always do, but especially knowing the circumstances of your family, we're thinking of you, your family, your wife, and I know she's fought it before, and we're full behind you, and hopefully everything goes well as you keep progressing through this. So
means the world to me. So let's talk about football. 1-5. It would have been pretty easy to just kind of fold up the tent and go through the motions, and you dug down and won 4 in a row. Now a chance for 5 to get to 6-5. I mean, that this team has shown some character.
Yeah, and I think that's the resilience and resolve that we knew we've always had in our program, and at different times it showed out really strong. And you know, I think for a lot of reasons, you know, some of those games didn't go our way early on, but I don't think it was a direct reflection of necessarily the toughness or resilience of the group. It just sometimes the outcomes were partly because of some calls, some executions, some depth, some injuries, a lot of factors all mixed into one, playing some solid competition. But you know, the one thing that's deep in our DNA here in the Hobart football family, and we just talked about it, you know, on and off the field, there's a fight and resiliency that happens in everything they do. And so I think we had a chance to regroup, and I think that bye week came at a good time where we had a chance to really take a deep breath, exhale, refocus, and I think we've been playing better football since that point. And you know, you start with one, and all of a sudden the momentum starts to go, and I think right now they're believing in themselves a little bit more than they were when they were kind of, you know, not that they weren't believing, but like I think there were so many young guys in different spots and different roles, and there was changing parts. Like the cohesion is a huge part of our sport, and you know, I think we've been a little bit more cohesive in how we've played, and have had better complementary football the last couple of games, and you know that's led through to, and that was the challenge for the guys. Like, can we respond the right way and get to a point where, well, you know, people will talk about the beginning, but you're going to remember the finish a lot more, and I think that's where. Really just proud of how they've continued to stay the course and fight together, and we've gotten to the point now where we got back to 5-5 to become bowl eligible, and you know, there's a genuine excitement. You know, obviously last year was the NCAA playoffs. We want to be playing for a national championship and on that path, but we can really use this bowl game to, you know, A, finish the season at the strongest and most positive point, but also, you know, build off of it. And that's what we've done with past bowl games, is kind of an extra week of practice, extra week of guys competing together and seeing if we can then finish this thing strong, like we said, for the focus of this team, and then see how that can be a hopefully a launching pad into the start of the next season.
Have you talked to this year's team about that, about how they're setting the table for the next team? I mean, we've talked about all these young guys that are going to be ready now to go for a championship next year.
Yeah, we talked briefly about it, and I'm always very careful of, you know, we as coaches always have, you know, one eye clearly on the now, but also an eye on, like, as we continue to develop and build our guys, and that goes into our day-to-day operations of true development. That's one of the things we really pride ourselves here is on off the field, how we develop these young men as people, as leaders, as students, as athletes, as everything across the board. And, you know, I think that's one of the things we saw this year was, we honored our seniors last week against Buff State in our senior game and wanted to make sure that we went out on Boswell if that was going to be our last time, and ended up being with a win that they could remember. And, you know, between the delays and everything else, it was a memorable one. But I also reminded the guys, like, you know, there's not many teams that get to play on. You know, a lot of people are turning in their equipment. A lot of people, you know, they'll talk about it, but to be about it is a different thing. And I think our guys, we just asked for laser focus and true, like, making sure that their habits and their commitment for this week really shows the fact that we got to go out and earn a victory. And we'll talk about our opponent here in a little bit, that they're going to be fired up for that opportunity as well. So typically whoever's more excited in these type of bowl games or playoff type games, that means something. And so I just want to make sure that the guys knew that we had a great opportunity in front of us, and not just for this, but, you know, I talked with the seniors way back, and our pride council, our captains, our leadership group, just basically the legacy of what this team means and what does it mean for all those that put the Hobart jersey on, you know, for the 130 years before them. And obviously for Team 131, what does that mean, like, to finish with that same type of pride and resolve that we talk about? And absolutely, this could be a really good finish for that stepping stone for what is going to be hopefully future success. And that's what we always talk about, making sure that the flag never touched the ground on our watch and that we're going to continue to push this program forward. That's been my commitment, our entire staff, the players, everyone that's involved in our program. That's been our commitment since we've been here. And that's what I said. I'm really proud of how they've been able to respond to some adversity this year.
It's interesting how you evaluate a season as it goes on. All season long, we've been talking about the struggling offense. As of right now, this offense scores more points per game and gains more yards than last year's championship offense.
Yep. It's other people talking. It's not us. Like, we stayed the course, and, you know, again, a lot of people outside, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes people just are instinctively try to, you know, critique things and feel that way. Like, we fell all along, you know, really besides the injuries we had early on at offensive line and quarterback, I thought we were going to be fine on offense, and we've emerged that way. And defensively, they led the conference in yards given up. Like, again, we were a good team. Now, we weren't a great team. We weren't playing at that level yet, but I think outside noise and outside people maybe had those comments. I think those inside felt like, you know, we missed some things. You know, again, it comes down to execution, but we trust our guys, and we've never once as a coaching staff wavered on our commitment to developing these young men, and they haven't wavered on their opportunity to get better here. And I think that's what we are. We're a better team now than we were in the beginning of the year, and that's true for almost every team I've ever coached. And you know, stats were going to kind of work themselves out, and at the end of the day, they realized, you know what, we are a pretty good offense, we are a pretty good defense, we are pretty good on special teams, but what we weren't doing early on was playing great ball together, you know, wasn't complimenting each other, and then we just had one or two plays in almost every single game that normally we'll make that we didn't, and that was close games can quickly be flipped, and you know, I don't get caught up too much in the stats. At the end of the day, the win-loss is what the most important stat for us. But I think we're starting to kind of come into our own here in the second half of the season. And my goal, as we said going into Buff State, was that was going to be our final exam. Like, as we're getting closer to finals here for the students, it's like, all right, each week are we progressing? Can we put together a complete game? And we didn't. We didn't play perfect, but we're getting closer to playing a full 60-minute game where all three phases are feeling pretty proud of their effort, their focus, and their execution.
And it's obvious that some other people took notice. I mean, you look at the all-league selections. We've talked about that banged-up offensive line. Two first-teamers on the O-line, and, of course, E.J. Taylor, Mike McGee on defense, and I thought you actually did better than I expected in those all-league selections.
Yeah, it's interesting because the process goes as we, as a coaching staff, I can nominate, you know, certain guys based on positions. We have a chance to talk about it with the other coaches on a conference call, but you're not able to vote for your own guys. So I think it's a level of respect of what do the other coaches think of our guys? How do they think of our schemes and our players? You know, the interesting part, I think we had the most first-team all-conference guys. So I think our best guys were our best guys, and I think some guys were respected. I think some of our guys were omitted that probably were deserving. And, you know, I've grabbed those guys individually or have talked to them about, like, you know, we nominated and we think they're playing on an all-league level, but sometimes that's where sometimes outside, I don't know if anyone does a deep dive how we do, and we truly try to make it the best guys. When we vote, it's for those who we felt we had a game plan for, played well against us, we've seen them on film. And at the end of the day, sometimes stats are a part of it, but I think the body of work is we're trying to get our best guys on the all-conference, and it's an individual accolade, but it's a team reflection. That's how I look at it. And I think, obviously, EJ's success at running back, he's very deserving. You know, I thought he played at an offensive player of the year level, and credit to the Union quarterback who won the conference. I think that head-to-head was an important part of it. But, you know, Ashton and Ben are two of the linemen that played pretty well. And then Jake Jaffee was an honorable mention. You know, I think Luke Huscock was very deserving as a tight end, and he's continued to play steady there. You know, Johnny Harding, you know, led our conference in both receiving yards, receiving touchdowns. You know, he did it quietly, but had even a better year than he did last year. You know, and we had other guys outside of it. But when you think from the offensive standpoint, you know, we talked about even Jeremy Weiss. He was the most efficient quarterback by over 40 points in league play. Had the most touchdown receptions, touchdown throws. He had a really good touchdown to interception ratio, and they voted for some other senior quarterbacks. And I get it, but I just told the quarterback room that that's a reflection of that room. As we perform better as a unit, obviously our offenses perform better. And again, just letting the guys know, like, we see when guys are showing out and playing consistently, but they're also, I think, the type of young men that we have, like, that's a good pat on the back, but it's about winning. It's about winning championships. And I think it'll put a chip on some of our guys' shoulders that says, you know what, maybe I wasn't recognized, but this will let me work a little bit harder here in the winter workouts and spring ball and make sure that when we have a chance to come back into league play that we're a better version of who we are than we are today. And then special teams player of the year, Vicente, that was a fantastic one. You know, obviously he's been consistent over the last 2 years and performing really well. And then I think on the defense side of the ball, you know, three first teamers in terms of Mike McGee steady at the linebacker position, Billy Brosco up front, and Z in the back end. And those three, like, you know, play through some injuries. I mean, you're talking about the guys that, like, that's why acknowledging the fact that, you know, we had other guys playing through injury, not just guys that we missed. But
yeah, absolutely.
That says a lot of the type of that toughness, both mental and physical toughness that our guys have. And, you know, one of the guys I'll say in particular, I think Hunter Voss was omitted, and who played at a fantastic level. He's continued to play really well. He's just kind of one of those guys that just does his job and does it well, but maybe sometimes people omitted him. We thought he's been a huge part of our defensive success, especially here in league play.
You beat Buffalo State 35-9. We had the uh-oh moment when we gave up the safety. EJ couldn't get out of the end zone, 7-2. And then the lightning delay. What do you do in 2 hours to try to stay mentally ready and kind of physically ready? Because when they put you back out on the field, you got a couple of minutes to loosen up, and then boom, we're going again.
Yeah, it was we've gone through some different delays. That was one of the more challenging ones in terms of the timing of where it was and the way the cell, the lightning cell was going. And again, how many times do you have lightning delays, you know, in November?
Yeah.
You know, so the interesting part was, you know, we were driving, it was 7-2, and like it's 1st and 10 at the 14 yard line, and it's like, all right, we want to capitalize it and get that lead going. And, you know, no one wanted to stop it, but obviously for the safety of the players, the call was made from sports medicine and the officials. So you go in, and every time there's a new cell, it recharges. So it's like, all right, guys, we got 10 more minutes, and all right, nope, we're back up to 30 minutes. Nope, back up to 30. And all of a sudden now you're thinking about the mental focus. You want our guys to relax. You can't, I mean, the thing about flipping a switch in competition, especially in football, like when you cross that line, you got to be mentally ready to go into, you know, proverbial battle. And to now, like, relax, turn on, like, that's the on-off switch is really tough to do. So we tried to keep our guys relaxed, tried to keep them focused. You know, we had some snacks, tried to keep them, you know, these guys are obviously men that need to recharge the battery and give them some energy. So it's like you don't want to overeat, but you got to make sure you replenish them a little bit. So stay hydrated, stay relaxed. Some guys put on music. Some guys were just super relaxed, like whatever it takes. And then you don't know when, you know, could that have been 30 minutes? All of a sudden it kept going. And by the time it's 2 hours in, and like that was a long, long wait, now there was other ramifications in terms of how we were able to try to get that game going before another cell came through. And I told them after the game, I told them on Sunday, like I was really proud of how they managed that. And to be able to then on a whim say, all right, now we got to go quickly get ready to go after a two-hour wait. And then come out and execute the way we did and really extend, you know, in a really short amount of time from a 7-2 lead to get it to 28-2 at half. and really kind of put the game in hand and make it really clear that you know, that we were going to be the team that was going to hopefully finish that game the right way. So, and then what we talked about with you know, Coach Morgan and his staff with Buff State was just saying, like, let's not even do a halftime. Let's, that was essentially our halftime. Let's keep this thing going. So a quick turnaround and then into the third quarter. So definitely an adverse type of situation and how they handled it, I was really pleased with. And that's from everyone, from our sports medicine to equipment, everything, all everyone. It was all hands on deck to get our guys ready to go. And, again, just pleased with not only the outcome but how we got to that outcome and really the guys – you know, battling through, which was a pretty interesting long delay there.
Jeremy Weiss had another fantastic game. It's just watching him throw that ball as hard as he can down the middle. He's got a thing going with Johnny Harding. What flipped the switch for him? He went from a quarterback with promise to probably the best deep throwing quarterback right now in the country.
Yeah, his yards per completion, his efficiency has been pretty good. And I think that starts with, as the offense has evolved, we're doing a better job protecting the quarterback. So early on, his couple starts was when our offensive line was still kind of meshing, gelling, finding ways because of some of the injuries and kind of where we're going. I also think, you know, you throw in that piece of it, I think a more cohesion with receivers combined with, you know, just the overall opportunity with he had with experience to now gain experience. And I've said this before, and I mean it. I think any good football player can take the physical and mental reps they're getting and now learn from those for those next reps. He's doing it at a really high level where, like, if he's making mistakes on a Tuesday practice or a Thursday practice or on a Saturday game, he's a quick learner to be able to apply that for the next time he's in those situations. So I think that's really bode well for him in terms of he's learned, a really humble young man, like hungry, he's focused, and he's done a really good job learning from previous experiences, both successes and failures and mistakes, and now being able to apply them the next time. So that's one of the reasons why he's been so efficient. And again, why I put him up for an all-conference consideration is because not only did the numbers show it, I think if you look at his body of work, his first plays really were starting right in the beginning of league play. And if you look at how he's matured, not only did the stats prove it, his play on the field showed he played at an all-conference level.
He had the big lead in the second half, so you had a chance to get some guys in. Anthony Rossetta had a first career catch. You tried like heck to get Kieran Cotter a touchdown.
You saw what we were trying to do, yes.
Yeah, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, and you know, we had a couple of the seniors get their first touches, you know, the week before at Hilbert, and Kieran wasn't able to play that week. And I never want to run it up on a team, but we were doing it. And we wanted, that was one of the goals for, you know, the offensive line and for a lot of us to try to get Kieran in the end zone. And we had a couple things that should have worked, and, you know, a trip and fall here, a bad snap there, and it's just like, couldn't get it in. But, you know, just really proud of those two young men and all the others. There was a handful of senior offensive linemen that got in, and everybody that was healthy as a senior got in and had significant play, which is, you know, something we're proud of. And there was other guys, too, underclassmen that got in and showed out. But Anthony's done a really good job as a receiver, and we were all extremely happy for him in that moment. And that's more of a body work. And just, you know, give you an example, like, we do, you know, it means a lot with who carries the flag and who carries the wood out onto the field. And there's symbolism to those. And what does it mean? Well, Anthony also carried the flag out for that game. And that goes to the young man on our team that, regardless of whether you're a starter or number two on the depth chart, whatever it is, that just does it the Hobart way and has pride and just truly a team first guy that's doing things. And Anthony's embodied that his entire career. I love him. He comes from a great family. And I just, that's the me as a coach. Like, I want to see him, you know, just continue to do well. And he's going to do great, you know, when he moves on and graduates. But that was an important moment for us to make sure that we recognize how important Anthony and all those other guys are. Every senior down through, whether they're an all-conference player or someone that has a role, Anthony's been doing well on special teams, and you know, our receiver group's been performing pretty well, and he's a part of that group. So just really proud of all those guys.
You had another disruptive defensive game. I think seven different guys had tackles for loss, sacked the quarterback four times, and what had been missing for a lot of the year is takeaways. You're starting to take the ball away again, which you were great at last year.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we talked about it earlier, how we've been able to turn around that 1-5 start, and I think a huge part of that is we were missing some of those takeaways early on. Last year's team and some of those previous teams that were championship level teams, the defense was still stout, but like giving short fields, getting takeaways, and I think that was an important part of that game against Buff State was, and you saw how important field position was. Like the two times we were backed up a handful of times, partly because of the wind and those punts. But you know, their first points, really, I would say both their points came from special team plays, even though you know the one was an offensive safety and the other one was that they scored on their defense. But both of them happened because of special team plays. And I think those takeaways are important, you know, especially the one where the defense got the stop in the end zone, you know, the dead zone, as we talk about it from a defensive standpoint. I think it's really good to see, you know, and we had probably one or two other guys that were in those moments that to just to give them the confidence to go play the ball at the highest point, or to not only just tackle but to rip that ball out. And you know, that's a testament for hopefully this upcoming week and where we need to go moving forward is a defense that's stout and gets stops, tackles, does other things, but we can get the ball out for the offense and give us a shorter field position. We're going to win more games than not.
SUNY Maritime also 5-5, similar kind of season, started poorly, finished strong. Do you have any old Endicott contacts that you could talk to find out a little more about them? They're in the same league.
Yeah, we know some of them. Actually, they're in a different conference.
You're right.
Yeah, they played Endicott non-conference wise, and I know some of the guys that we recruited that are still there. But really, more the tie-in is actually more at a Union. Their head coach was the defensive coordinator at Union last year. So played against them when he came here and traveled with when Union played here last year. Obviously known from you know the Union staff and the connections we've had with them in the past. And I've known him for just years watching his path when he was an assistant coach at John Carroll, over to Wilkes, then up to Union, and then obviously his first head coaching spot. So they're going to be a really good opponent. The interesting part about it, they've had you know a couple head coaching changes, but this group of players, when you watch them, there are a lot of grad students, a lot of seniors. This is an older team. Last year's team was 8-3 with a bowl game winner, so they're this is going to be a really good opponent. I think they're deep. I think they're healthy. Like their defense has been probably the strength of their team, and they've been healthy pretty much all year long in terms of guys that played in week one and were playing here all the way into week 11. So I think that was similar to like kind of our team last year. You think about that defense. When you can play together for that long, there's a just an overall chemistry that plays at a high level. And then, you know, grad student, senior, I think they only have one guy that's not a junior or above that's in their starting lineup on defense. And then, you know, their quarterback is a grad student, big, strong, and dynamic player. He's going to be a huge part of their offense. And then, you know, a couple key guys. So in a lot of ways, you know, we look at it as, you know, both teams are probably better than their 5-5 record show. At the end of the day, it is what it is, 5-5. But you're using this as an opportunity to say this is going to feel like a playoff game. And both teams, obviously with SUNY Maritime being their first time as with this head coach and trying to build something, this would be a huge win for them to, you know, be able to take down Hobart and obviously build off of their hope for future success. And the same thing on our end, we're looking at it as this is a great opportunity to play a really good quality opponent on the road in a venue we've never played, a team we've never played. And hopefully, again, show that we are a team that is continuing to finish the season on a strong note and, you know, put the exclamation point on what we hope is going to be a strong finish to Team 131.
You mentioned the quarterback, Will Pickett, 1,800 yards, 17 touchdown passes, and another guy that can run. I've never seen so many good running quarterbacks in a season. How do they use him in the run game?
Yeah, he's a guy that a lot of his rushing yards come from. And if you think about some of the opponents we've played, he's going to be, if you remember the Utica quarterback, that was a big, strong arm, big body. He got a lot of his yards that against us by scrambling. And I think he gets a lot of yards that way. You know, and then we faced a couple quarterbacks that were more running quarterbacks. You think of the Union quarterback, the St. Lawrence, you know, the guy we prepared for against Buff State. He can run the ball. They'll have some set called runs for him. I think a lot of his yards come from, you know, extending plays and using his feet that way. I think early in the season they were running him a bunch, and they have capable running backs. I just think he's that dynamic. They want the ball in his hands. So I think it's going to be really important that we do a great job, you know, keeping him in the pocket, making him have to throw from the pocket, but then also making plays when he tries to get out of the pocket. Can we have rush integrity to keep him in? And that's where at times this year we've given up, especially earlier in the year, we've gave up, you know, plays that maybe shouldn't have happened by letting the quarterbacks extend plays outside the pocket.
And it seems to me like when that happens a lot, it's late in a play. It's a play that's going on, going on, going on, and then all of a sudden there's nobody up the middle, and the quarterback takes off and gets a first down.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, easier said than done. It's that, you know, what's that slippery slope of how often do you want to bring a ton of pressure, or how much do you want to bring in coverage? And that's why I say it's going to be our D-line and linebackers that are probably going to have to corral and keep him in cage and contain as much as possible. But, you know, he's a dynamic player, and then they have a couple of receivers. They have a very capable running back who's pretty good. And then I think their two receivers are going to be, you know, he targets two in particular. You know, one's a bigger, thicker guy on the outside. The other one's more of a, you know, kind of an athlete in the slot that they're going to take some shots over the top of us. So I do think this is going to have to be a really complete game for our defense in terms of stopping the run and being able to put pressure on the quarterback while keeping him in the pocket and still being able to mix up, you know, between man and zone coverages, how much we can extend and try to put our guys in one-on-one, and how much can we make plays with the ball in the air and some of our zone concepts.
All right, James Lina Bowl, Saturday, 1 o'clock. Again, we apologize. Don't have the radio broadcast. I'll be watching with everybody else. There is a free watch link, and you can get this podcast, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, be it Apple, Google, Spotify, or whatever. And everybody was real impressed when I asked you about the potential for a bowl game. We were all kind of expecting one of those, you know, we'll wait and see answers. And you said, oh, yeah, if we have a chance to play, we'll play. The fans love that attitude, and this team has a chance to be a winning football team at 6-5, and who would have thought that other than you and everybody in the room a few weeks ago?
We believed it all along, and again, I've always said, and I said this to some of the seniors and their parents on Saturday night after the game, like, I don't want these guys to be defined by their record. I want it to be defined on how they respond and the resolve, and that's what I remember of this group, and that's why I so want us to have just a really strong week. And again, I know it's going to be a really strong opponent. We're going to have to play well. But I want to see those guys hugging and knowing, you know, last year when you go in the NCAA playoffs, you never know. Like, at that point, we want to go as long as, but there's no, you're unsure if you're going to go for a week, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We know there's now finality. We weren't sure even after Buff State. No, we know for sure this is our last week. And I just think there was a sense of looking at the guys last night and just talking to them at practice. I just think there was an excitement of saying, we have one more week to stay together, which is what I love about this team, this family. And as long as I'm the head coach here, I want to play. I want to compete with these guys as many times as possible. We don't get enough. I say we're crazy because we work 365 days a year for just a few Saturdays. So the opportunity to play, I can tell you I'm excited. I can tell you our staff is fired up for it. I know this team is going to be fired up to play. And just really appreciative that you know, we've had the support to take this opportunity from our athletic administration. And ultimately, I think this is going to, you know, help us, you know, for this team, but ultimately for teams to come. And, you know, I think that's when you asked that question a couple weeks ago, there was never any hesitation. It was a matter of, could we turn around the outcomes? But at the same time, I think this group has been hungry all the way through. And ultimately, and I think it'll show out on Saturday, There's a toughness, there's a mental toughness and resolve in these young men that we get to see every day that some others don't. That's why I say they're not defined by this record. We're a better team, potentially, by what the record says. At the end of the day, you got to win those games. But I'm just really proud of how they fought. And one of the other things I just want to point out, we talked about the All-Liberty League. I want to talk about the All-Academic Liberty League. We had 33 guys that were recognized. And if you know anything about our program, we have the smallest roster size. And first years aren't included. So it's sophomores through seniors. Basically about 46% of our guys who were eligible to make this team made it, which is, you're talking about 50%. We have a lot of guys that just missed the cut. We're proud of the fact that we had the Liberty League leading most people that were chosen with the smallest roster. And that tells me, you know, even more about like the type of young men we have. Yeah, we want to win games, but these guys are winning off the field. And hopefully that's a direct reflection of the type of young men that we're recruiting and developing. And I'm as proud of those guys, because there's some guys on that list that maybe aren't playing a lot of football minutes yet, but they're still representing our program, leading in the ways that they know they can lead. And I think there's going to be some of those young men that you're going to hear talking about in the next year or two. And that's just, again, recognizing that we evaluate everything these guys are doing on and off the field, and just really proud of the young men. And again, some of those highlights maybe take away from a, you know, 5-5 record, but those accomplishments tell me a lot about what the work and the investment they're putting in day out. So,
and it shows that they understand why they're here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, right. Again, thanks for all your support, Ted. We're thinking of you and your wife and your family, and there's anything we can do, and I mean that wholeheartedly, we're here for you.
I know, and I appreciate that. I love you, Hobart football family. And one last word, Ken DeBolt, Sports Communications, came up and had some words with me the other day and has always been a supporter. We appreciate that very much, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll do a season wrap-up edition on the 6-5 Statesman.